And we're back, Stripe Show Podcast, on a Tuesday. I'm your host, Travis Fulton. Thank you for tuning in. U.S. Open week up in Pinehurst, North Carolina. Our man is on the ground. Got to get right to it. Major championship, baby. Keith Stewart at Read the Line, coming to us live from Pinehurst. How you doing, buddy?
Oh, man. I'm feeling hot. I'm feeling excited. It's steamy up here and it's only a Tuesday. The place is getting crispy. There is no doubt this thing will get totally out of control by the weekend and I can't wait. It's no doubt.
I'm probably gonna get in trouble for this.
Yeah.
But I gotta play it. This is nothing. Nothing takes me back to childhood golf more than this. Nothing. The U.S. Open was number one. NBC's always done a great job. I think I shed a tear when they lost it.
And we come to you from the Pine Hills of North Carolina. Home created a resort at the turn of the century of James Walker Tufts, a vision in 1907 by Donald Ross. Now, in a modern context, we take you back in time to our 124th United States Open Championship. We bring you your host today, Travis Fulton.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. Man, so much going through my mind right now. And I've got goosebumps on my arms, those horns. Can't wait to hear that. NBC coverage, Pinehurst, number two. Hayne Stewart back in 1999. Man, I can remember exactly where I was standing. Gateway Golf Center, Clarkston, Washington, home of Joel Damon, Gino Benham. I'm standing there. I was the teacher, just graduated college. Hayne Stewart wins it, grabs Phil Mickelson's face. And then, gosh, you fast forward and Hayne dies in, October 25th. That was right before I left for Phoenix. And, man, it's just – so much there. You fast forward, you go to 2014, Martin Keimer wins by 8, right? He's 9 under. People forget Martin Keimer won by 8 here over Ricky Fowler and Eric Compton. I mean, it was incredible. I played Pinehurst about 4 years ago, went up there, played 5 of the courses. And we got, we're just fired up. Perfect day. Number one down there, made birdie. I'm 1 under through one. Get to number two, which is beast mode. Okay, now number two is beast mode.
Yeah.
Hey, so Keith, so I rock went down there and roll went up there to 20 feet just left of it. I'm thinking, all right, 2 under through two. I putted off the green, made double. True story. True story. Putted it off the green, made double.
And you don't remember the rest of your day.
It got ugly. Right? Well, I hacked it on the front. I mean, I just hacked it on the front. I think, Jesus, I was all over the place. This gorse, right? And I want to get to the course here in a second, but it's real stuff. I got a lot of questions I want to ask. We're going to get into this. We're going to try to figure out a way someone wins this other than Scottie Scheffler.
Let's go.
But you're on site.
Yeah.
And the initial reports, things are getting a little crusty already, starting to dry out.
Yeah.
Might lose control of this thing. What are we looking at here? What's the course look like? And then the second thing is, Keith, how big are the fairways, right? Because in my mind, how far can we go here in the type of player? Do we need someone that's really accurate and long, or can we hit get it offline a little bit, like maybe bring a Cam Smith into play?
All right. So let's just go with what we know. All right. Before the tournament starts here, we are going to get a firm and fast test. We know that right now. We have high sun, not too windy. Humidity's coming in. It's going to approach 100 on Friday. So this thing is really going to start to bake out. This is why they changed the agronomy over to Bermuda. And if we just talk about it in a vacuum, the skill sets that we were looking for coming in were, first and foremost, we want approach play. It's a U.S. Open, 175 yards or more. We're looking at almost 60% of the approach shots. The second thing, you look at those turtleback greens and what we know from the three editions earlier, 99, 2005, 2014 is that you have to be really, really savvy with your short game. And I would say the third thing was that you have to be a cerebral player, the type of guy that's going to win at a Players or in an Open Championship or Augusta National Golf Club. You have to really, really understand. Like when you talk about game plan, Keith, what do you mean? Martin Keimer said at the beginning of the week he was going to putt every time from off the green. Mm-hmm. And he was stubborn enough to stick to that, and it worked out for him, right? Now, the most interesting thing that I learned kind of coming in, if I feature those three things as far as like building out my betting card, was that every time we go to these major championships, they're always changing something. They've literally changed nothing here. It's the same length. It's the same tee boxes. Everything's the same other than the agronomy, which is a major change, don't get me wrong. But the physical challenge of how long it is, they haven't changed. But what they have done is that they've taken these wiregrass bushes and they've increased the planting volume in and around the landing areas off the tee. So if I add a fourth skill based upon what I'm seeing when I walk around, is it just looks like there's a lot of vegetation right around 300 yards on all of these fairways. So total driving, somebody that is long, they're going to have to be long, par 70, 7,500 yards. But who's the most long and the most accurate? Now, I know that I just gave you Scottie Scheffler's resume, but those are the skills I'm looking at, and it's firm. It's a firm and fast version of that. That's what we see. Mm-hmm.
Can you get into this, into these troubled areas off the tee where you feel like, all right, maybe I can advance it, maybe I can't. But I'm going to try to advance it anyway, swing and whiff, easily make a double. I mean, is it kind of like that, or is it, well, you're either in it or you're not?
I think, they asked Victor Hovland this morning a question, and he didn't really answer it. They also asked Jon Rahm the question. They said, when you get off the fairway, do you feel like it's 50-50 that you could be lucky? Mm-hmm. Do you feel like, could you put a percentage on it? And they both said it's really situational. Mm-hmm. Rahm's way of answering the question was like, he goes, it's interesting to me. Some fairways, one side is really, really, has a ton of vegetation. And then the other side, it's a little more barren. And then the next hole, it could be vice versa. I go, so, kind of the way I would answer that question is that as part of that game plan, you need to know where all these plantings are and where they've increased the volume. And I think that if you do get in there, probably 10 to 20% of the time, you're going to be punching out and hacking. And I think the other times, these guys are really good. They'll come up with something and they'll get it greenside and they'll give themselves a chance, which is only going to put more weight on around the green play.
Before we get to some of the other guys that we like, let's talk about how Scottie Scheffler won't win this tournament. Let's start there. Okay. I mean, is there a scenario where Scottie Scheffler won't win this tournament? Because I think we all agree this is a great venue for Scottie Scheffler, right? Just all the things that you just talked about. I mean, look, 100%. Scottie can win anywhere, but Pinar's number two. Scotty's licking his chops. This is a really, really good spot for him. Yes. So, what needs to happen? Well, I mean, he's probably got to get into some of these new areas that you're talking about and come up with a couple double bogeys. But even with that said, he made a triple bogey last week at Memorial and still won.
Yeah.
That just doesn't happen. You don't make triples and win. And he does, not even make triple, then he just extended his lead after that. And so even with a double bogey or two, even with, let's say, all of a sudden Scotty starts to struggle with his putter again, right? You start going to maybe some of the things that might happen. That's where I would start, right, would be kind of one and two. He did make that uncharacteristic mistake where he did make triple and hit driver. I think it was on 9, which most of the guys were hitting 3-wood. And he steps up and hit driver and hit it out of bounds. You don't see that from Scheffler very often, or if ever.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely the guy that's the most cerebral out here. And that was odd walking around with them last weekend. But, this is a mental examination this week as much as it is a physical one. I would say the three things that give us hope. Number one is that this is a putting surface that Scotty hasn't won on before, this Champion Bermuda grass. So we'll start there. I don't think it's going to play as grainy on the putting surfaces as people think. It's going to be so baked out and it's going to be so thin that I don't think it's going to be that grainy there. I think it's going to be super grainy around the greens as far as, pitching and chipping goes. And that will determine what club you use and the trajectory of the shot, and the type of shot and everything. But the second thing I would say is that The USGA is running this, so there will be luck involved. And yeah. as much as people have good luck, they have bad luck. So mm-hmm. I think that Scotty's used a lot of good luck lately. So maybe he gets some bad luck. So there's your scenario where you talk about he hits it a couple drives that roll out into the wire grass and he gets into a bush, maybe gets an unplayable lie, maybe he makes a double bogey. One or two of those. Everybody needs to be right around par in order to win ish. Maybe, you know, I think the winning score will still be between like 4 and 6, but like that's still okay. not a lot of scoring, you know? So I think that that's a scenario. And then I think you could go with history. I mean, we obviously can't arrest him, right? That's already been done. So the other thing I would say is that 15, if we go all the way back to Michael Campbell winning in 2005, 15 of the last 19 U.S. Open winners were first time major winners.
Yeah.
So there seems to
be. Including the last five, right? U.S. Open. Yeah. Including the last five. Yeah.
Yeah. So there seems to be some level of randomness to what happens here. And we saw it, 3 weeks ago at Lancaster Country Club. When the USGA sets it up and puts the golf course on that much of an edge, people are going to get some bad breaks. And when they do, I mean, at Lancaster Country Club, they had the top 10 ranked women in the world, of which 9 of them were on property, right? They averaged in the first round 5.5 strokes over par. Like, in what world does that happen? In what world do you get 9 of the top 10 men in the world on any golf course, and they're going to average as a collective group 5.5 over par? It's not going to happen, but it could happen in the U.S. Open. And I think that that's your caveat that maybe, you know, it just doesn't turn out to be Scotty's week, much like in Valhalla. Now, granted, those were outside, you know, circumstances, but still just didn't turn out to be his week. It takes a lot. It takes a lot to win these things, especially back to back or a couple in a year.
Last 5 U.S. Open winners, of course, Wyndham Clark last year, first-time major championship winner. Then Fitz in 22, Rahm. Remember, that was his first in 21. Bryson in 20.
Yep.
And then Gary Woodland in 19, all first time. All right, so let's start with that. First-time winner, the first-time major winner this year. More likely to do it, let me give you 3 names. Victor Hovland, Ludvig Åberg, and Sahith Theegala.
Whoa!
Those are the 3. Those are the 3 that I would group in, right? As a first-time major winner. Now, I left Cantlay out, and Cantlay's struggling right now.
Yeah, I would have put Fleetwood in that group. I'd put 4.
Okay. I mean, Fleetwood's never won on the PGA Tour.
Yeah, I mean, this is not the PGA Tour, right? This is not your normal setup, and Fleetwood's proven, you know, what was fifth last year at LACC. He was great. He was runner-up at Shinnecock. You know, he's a great Scottish-style player. I mean, let's just talk about real quickly the golf course. This is Donald Ross, 1907. He had just come over from Royal Dornoch. There's so much influence here in the ground game. And Tommy Fleetwood is world-class player when it comes to those types of shots, whether
fair
it be
point.
On a
– fair point,
with, yep. You know, so I'll put all 4 of those guys in there. Okay. And I would say that oddly enough, all right, so they each have 1 big weakness. With Victor, we're not convinced that the short game is back.
Ludvig, he's not back, right. Mm-hmm.
With Ludvig, I don't consider the short game as much a problem as the injury. And then with Sahith, there is no short game as far as what we've seen in 2024. And then with Fleetwood, the only thing you could say is that he just hasn't won on the PGA Tour. Well, to me, that sounds a lot better than some of what these other guys are dealing with. But as far as picking one of the 4 of those guys, I'd go with the kid. I mean, he almost
go with Ludvig. Okay.
Yeah, I'd go with Åberg. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not personally, but to answer your question, that's where I'd go.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you got? That's I like that question. What do you got for me?
Yeah, it is. Right. It's interesting, right? Like it's an interesting look. Like, well, okay, that's not going to happen this year. Well, it's happened the last 5 years.
Yeah. I mean,
it's happened the last 5 years. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, Hovland's interesting, right? Because, boy, he's hitting it well. He's settled down here and has kind of, I think, got back to what makes him Victor Hovland off the tee in the iron game. It's been brilliant.
Yeah.
Now, where are we, you know, around the greens? I wouldn't be a bit surprised if Victor Hovland's putting a lot off these greens as well.
Mentioned that earlier, yes.
Yeah. You're going to see a lot of stuff. This is a different kind of scenario here around the greens. See, you're going to see the putter. You're going to, I think, see some hybrids and 3-woods. The creativity around the greens. There's some room, right? I mean, yes, that you've got the shelves, But there is some room where they're going to have you hit it off some of these tight lies. So you have options where it's not going to always just be in the rough where then, okay, open it up and fling it out of there. That's what makes it interesting with Sahith too is, you know, I think that artist in him, would this be something that he likes around the ground? I'm not going to bet him to win, but I'm just kind of staying with this narrative, as a first time winner. You're going to see a lot of different stuff, around these greens and, you know, there's options available. Which one do you feel more comfortable with? And is it the right play, right? Is it the right play or are you fearing maybe into the green, into the grain a little bit uphill, those kinds of things? Now, let's stay at the top of the board here for a second.
All right.
We know Scheffler's obvious. We know Rory is probably going to be in the top 10. I think that's another safe bet.
Yeah.
Xander's playing some good golf. I think Xander probably ran out of gas a little bit on the weekend, maybe got some rest, kind of reboot this. Is he going to win back-to-back major championships? Probably not likely. Morikawa, DeChambeau, those are the two I'm going to stop. Both those guys are playing some brilliant golf, right? Yeah. Morikawa's playing great golf. Bryson DeChambeau's playing great golf. Bryson overpowered it back in 20 and got his U.S. Open. Colin Morikawa, a two-time major championship winner. Of those two, do you give a slight edge to either one of them?
Of that whole grouping, I think I would go with Colin.
Okay.
I think he's in the best form. I think also I love the fact that Rick Sessinghouse teaches him his mental performance approach as well as his full swing. So I think that that's a very nice combination coming into a week where you're going to have to do a ton of game planning. And you're going to have to do a ton of like mental conditioning just to put up with all of this. I mean, with all these runoffs off the greens and everything, you're talking about that, you know, these are going to be like 5.5, almost 6 hour rounds in the first two rounds in this heat. It's going to be 100 degrees. You're going to really be able to, you know, keep yourself under control. And I think that Colin can do that more so, definitely more so than Bryson. And, you know, I think the other two guys, I don't think Xander can win back to back. And I think, When you consider Rory going against Scotty this year, he's 0 for 9. So I got a little bit of damaged goods there in my mind.
Yeah. Rory, sorry, I was plugging my computer in. Rory's just, you know, these guys are competitors, man. And they're friends. You know, it's not like back in the day when these guys were, you know, not all kind of hanging out and buddy-buddy kind of thing. It's got to be burning with Rory right now, doesn't it? It's got to be burning a little bit. Like, man, Scotty's kicking our ass right now. I mean, he is kicking our ass.
I wouldn't say it's burning him more than anybody else. I mean, you mean to tell me that you think it's burning Rory more than it's burning Brooks? More than it's burning
Well, that's
Rob?
The other one. Yeah, that's the other one. That's the transition I'm making here is that it's I think it's burning Rory, and I think the other person that it's burning is Brooks. And I think as we move down the board a little bit and we start getting into the 20s and now we enter in Brooks Koepka, John Rahm, you mentioned Fleetwood, which I think you make a valid point, Keith, about the ground game. Matsuyama played well last time we saw him. Hadn't played a lot of golf, but he played well. I think he'll get some play. I think in this range, I like Brooks. You know, I've bet it. And,
all right.
And I'm gonna hang my hat there. With Brooks Koepka now as we get into the 20-1. I'm with you on Morikawa in that group, but I'll add Brooks now as we move down the board.
What is it about Brooks, once in the times that we've seen him in elite competitions, and you know that now I'm categorizing that against LIV events, right? In the first two majors, what is it that you've seen Brooks do that gives you faith to put your money down?
Well, I mean, he's won U.S. Opens before. He's won two of them.
Well,
right. And so,
Rory won a U.S. Open.
Rory won a U.S. Open. Right. I put some validity into form coming in. I don't think Brooks is that far off though. I mean, he has one on LIV.
Rahm won a U.S. Open.
Yeah, but Rahm's got club foot, right? And then he's got in his or toe. He's got turf toe, right?
He's definitely injured. All right. How about Jordan Spieth won a U.S. Open?
Yeah, but Spieth is way more volatile than Brooks Koepka. I mean, I'll put way more money on Brooks than I will Jordan Spieth, especially on a golf course like this.
I understand that, but Brooks has finished what, 45th and 26th?
No, I get
in
that.
In majors
no,
this
I,
year.
Yeah, you know? I get so that. Like, I don't think he's been. I don't think it's been his best form, right, this year. But it doesn't always play out that way. And for a guy that preaches win equity as much as you do, I think that has an experience. I do think that has some value when it comes to major championships. Brooks Koepka is wired for U.S. Opens. I mean, this is the kind of golf that he likes. You know, he likes to go out and mix it up, and it's tough. And he knows that a lot of the field is going to get wounded just mentally. It's going to beat him down.
Wounded. Right? I love that. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, like, Brooks, this is his deal. And it's no fluke that he's won two of these. He's healthy. Now, I think I would admit he hadn't played great as Brooks Koepka's standards as we've seen in the first two. But it's Brooks Koepka. He can be dominant with the driver. He can get that fade going. His short game is very good. I you know, like around the greens, I don't worry about Brooks. And he can get it going with that putter. So I just like his style. I don't think he's that far off from a form perspective. And so as we get into the middle of the board, some win equity, Brooks Koepka is my guy in what I think is going to be a tough, tough test in U.S. Open.
It's going to be tough.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be tough. It is. It's going to be oppressively hot. It's going to be 6-hour rounds on Thursday and Friday. It's going to be high sun, claustrophobic amongst the pines.
I mean, where else are we going to go? Like, where else are we going to go as we start getting down into this part of the board? Like, John Rahm's injured. All right, Fleetwood, I'll give it. He can play the ground game. The dude's never won on the PGA Tour, never won a major. Kimi Koepka. Matsuyama, all right, yeah, I'm intrigued. Cam Smith, I'm intrigued. I like them at the PGA. Are the fairways wide enough for him? You know, he's a guy that's performed decent. Fitzpatrick's got a U.S. Open. I'll pass. JT, I'll pass. Homa, pass. Cantlay, pass. Finau, tough enough to win a U.S. Open. I'll pass. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, where are we going to go in this test? You said 4-under, right?
Yeah.
Like 4-under.
I like Cam Smith. He grew up in the sand.
That was my question.
He grew up on the sand belt, right? Yeah. So he's used to this type of texture of ground.
Okay.
He's used to playing places like this, right? And when you start to break down, like, well, what's the skill set that's really needed? You know, you are basing your Brooks pick off of Brooks playing well in U.S. Opens at places like Shinnecock, right? Like, that's what you're thinking about. You're thinking about Brooks in the similar scenario to him at Pinehurst number two, or you're thinking about Brooks early in his career in 2014 coming in fourth, you know, at the last version of Pinehurst number two here in the U.S. Right. Open.
He was so even, like, I think.
Yeah, you could do all of those things, right? So if we go down that road and we know what we need, then I think that when you have a score that's right around somewhere between even par and, let's say, 5-under, that these guys that are incredible short game artists now become so live in all of this. And if you go back to that leaderboard from what I've got it here. When you go back to that leaderboard from 2014, right, you've got Keimer, and then you've got Fowler, and you've got Keegan, great short game guy. Koepka, great short game guy. Jay Day, great short game guy. You go down to T9, you got Snedeker, you got Adam Scott, you go down to T12, you've got Marcel Seam, right? Remember him, right? You got Kuchar, you've got Jay Rose, Furyk, Kevin Na. I mean, all these guys are guys that just hang around when it's not 80 million under par, right? And I love the fact that Cam Smith won at St. Andrews, and he won with lag putting, and he won with an ability to score on the ground, which is so important, and which is what we don't see. I mean, year after year, you talk about those five guys that won those U.S. Opens. I mean, that was just blast away every year. And we're going to see something a little bit different. This is a little bit different beast. And I think you really, really need to be good in and around these greens, much like you needed to be at Augusta National back in April, because it got so baked out and so windy and everything over the weekend. It's going to be a similar sort of challenge like that. And there's another similarity that I've mentioned to a couple other people, which I think really draws, I mean, it furthers Scotty's case like times 10, but one of the major comp courses here is anything that Pete Dye has done. Mm-hmm. And his masterpiece is TPC Sawgrass, the stadium.
Yeah, I heard a lot of comp Sawgrass stuff. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So,
Cam's okay there too.
He's done okay there, and he did it there in 2022 when it was in the worst possible conditions, right? Yeah. Scotty's won there back-to-back. But the reason why they are so tightly correlated is that there's this guy named Pete Dye. He served in the military, and he served at Fort Bragg up here in North Carolina. His commanding officer used to play golf at Pinehurst. Back in the 40s, Pete used to drive him down here. He spent almost a year down here playing the golf course and studying it. Now, this is when he served. This is before he became a world-class golf course design man, right? There's tons of influences in what Pete does. Now, everyone says, well, Keith, that's crazy. We're looking at Wiregrass and all this other stuff this week, and, like, Pete Dye likes bulkheads and steps in his bunkers to get in and out. Like, but that's the point. Like, if you take away, if you wipe away, right, all the sharp edges and everything that Pete likes, and, you know, Donald Ross up here almost looks like watercolors versus stencil, right? You know, like how everything kind of like morphs and blends into one another, but it's the same sort of challenges. You have to be super strategic. You know, you have a lot of diagonal penalty areas or hazards. You know, you have a lot of switchback holes. I mean, there's a ton of switchback holes. You play, you know, the stadium course all the time. You know, you got to hit it left to right off the tee, and you got to hit it right to left to approach the green. That's a switchback, right? You have these really creative green complexes that, you know, they aren't challenging once you get on them, but in and around them, they're so intricate that it really requires you to be good, you know, to have around the green acumen. So I think that I get deep on Cam Smith here, and he's got the magic beans. You know, like,
yeah,
that's the type of guy that can do something crazy. And that's what you're going to need coming down the stretch, and maybe you could beat Scotty by a half a stroke come Sunday if you could chip in or something.
Well, okay, so let's go to strokes again around the green.
Hideki.
Lost 24 rounds. Yeah, there's Hideki, right? And so a guy that, man, he just got to – I think he got to sprinkle a little on Hideki. Webb, number two, speaking of TBC Sawgrass. Colin Morikawa is three. And I'll tell you, Colin doesn't get enough credit for his improvement in the short game. He doesn't get enough credit.
Over his last five starts, Travis – he's gaining over 2.5 strokes around the green, and he's gaining over 2 strokes with the putter, which would never happen, even when he was winning majors. So he deserves a ton of credit.
Finau, man, you know, he's been solid. Bezuidenhout, if you're looking for maybe some odds, I think it could be one that you might look at into making the cut, top 20. Tommy Fleetwood, we know he can get it done around the greens. You know, JT, short game's been pretty good.
Awesome.
Cam Smith, we know. So the reason I bring up Cam Smith, and I like Cam Smith too, And I have bet him. So I like Cam Smith as well. But I think one of the narratives here is, boy, it's going to be hard to hit fairways. But not really. Like, these fairways are pretty big. Now, if you get off of them, now you got problems. So I think there's enough room for a Cam. I think Cam's is a good one here at this facility. We know a short game is brilliant.
Yeah.
Ground game. And I think the comparison over to when he won the Open Championship, the comp to players, you go back to Scheffler when he won, Schauffele was 2, Clark was 3, Matsuyama was 6.
Oh, Matsuyama at Sawgrass he's exquisite. Yeah.
Thagala was in the top 10. I don't know. Thagala's guy.
Yeah,
no, you're not going there. Okay. All right.
I mean, I was at Memorial. It's just kind of like
you're probably gonna bet Spieth, right? You're probably gonna bet Spieth and Keegan, kind of go off those old vibes here back in 14. Spieth and
I'm
Keegan.
Not going anywhere near Jordan. Okay. Spieth. did you not read me in Golf Digest last week? Right.
All right. Let me ask you this.
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. So let me ask you this. Sepp Straka has been playing some really good golf. He plays tough golf courses as well. Do you give him much of a chance here? He's currently 70-1.
I think that there's a lot of chatter around Sepp Straka. What makes me curious about Sepp was that why didn't he show up at Valhalla? That should have been in his wheelhouse. It was Zoysia. It was a ball striker's paradise, and he missed the cut. It wasn't even like, you know, he just finished 40th, and it was like, yeah, like something didn't work out. Like, he missed the cut. It's a big stage. The switch to Bermuda would make me lean in that direction. But in that price range, I would be much more apt to get excited about a guy like, I don't know, Keegan Bradley or Harris English. Like, those would be the types of guys. I mean, Harris English has never missed a cut in the U.S. Open. It's the hardest
U.S.
cut
Open
in
player.
Professional golf.
Yep.
Yeah, brilliant. You know? And he'll do the things that you need, keeping the ball in play and you know, putting and chipping and doing all this. Harris will be good there. And then, you know, Keegan has just been playing really, really good golf. He's top 10 tee to green. He's top 10 par 4 scoring. He's not taking it. I really think he was really mentally had a huge setback in the fall from the Ryder Cup, right? And he didn't play good to start the season. But oh, you look at him over his last, like, eight starts or so. He's been really strong. He was runner-up at Colonial. And he is a totally underrated chipper and pitcher of the golf ball. He won his only major at Atlanta Athletic Club, which was on the same champion Bermuda grass. Keegan's a good putter. He's very high on the PGA Tour and birdie or better percentage. You know, like, if you go back to 2014, only one guy made more birdies for the week than Keegan, and that was Martin Keimer. And Martin Keimer beat everybody by eight. So Keegan can score, right? I think he knows he needs to get on that President's Cup team. I think he knows he needs the points. That it's the popularity contest. He's not going to take a chance again. So I like Keegan further down the board for sure.
The one thing you get with Harris is his putter can go ballistic and he can get you a top 20. Like that is Harris English can do that at a U.S. Open course. I mean, you go back to what he finished eighth. I think he finished eighth last year, something like that. Yeah, he finished eighth. But he was positive 10.3 putting. And so PGA Championship this week or this year, he was 18th, positive 7.6. Boy, he's just not hitting the ball good. His short game, I think, is subpar right now. You're certainly not betting Harris on recent form as much as you just gave me shit about Brooks Koepka.
Yeah, three of Harris's last four U.S. Opens, he's been in the top eight.
He can putt. These greens get quick, and Harris English can separate. There's no doubt he can separate with the putter. Now, can he get anything out of his ball striking? You know, he's just not. He's not hitting the ball well. So that'll be interesting to see. You know, you go down there, like you're probably going to pass on Will Zalatoris. Will, we know when he's right, can compete. You know, in these kinds of venues. But where are we at with Will Zalatoris? Be tough. Jason Day, to your point, good short game, right? Can he get it up and down? Bezuidenhout's been solid with his short game. Are we trying to find maybe a top 20 with some odds now as we get into 80, 90 to Man. 1? Siwoo Kim, Dean Burmester, your boy Dino, maybe? No?
You're being tough on Harris. He was 19th at the Players, 22nd at the Masters, and 18th at the PGA.
Whoa. He's missed his last two cuts.
Okay. All right.
I'm just saying.
Hang on. So he beat Brooks at the Masters and he beat Brooks at the PGA.
Oh, now you're going to say Brooks over. Now you're going to try to position that Harris is better than Brooks.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
What do you have against Brooks Koepka?
I don't. I'm just trying to get you going. You know, like it's just, yeah, I feel like
he's
you're
missed
fired
his last two cuts. His ball striking is going completely the wrong way. Now, don't get me wrong. He's one of the best putters in the world. He can absolutely go berserk on fast U.S. Open greens. He goes PGA Championship. He goes positive three with his approach. Yeah, he's top 20. You know, that's how good of a putter he is.
Yeah.
I don't know on Harris. It's kind of interesting though, right? I mean, Justin Rose now, we're getting to the hundreds. He's won a U.S. Open. Dan McCarthy likes tough courses. Brian Harman won the Open Championship.
He was no good.
How far are we in the gum? And how far can we just, you know, we talked about last week that it just felt like, you know, these bigger names starting to play, bubbling up. All of a sudden, at the beginning of the year, we were talking how a lot of the big name players, they all had a weakness that we were, you know, just no one really was kind of hitting on all cylinders. But now the narrative as we get into June has changed. Scotty's putter's better. Colin Morikawa, his short game is better. Victor Hovland's back. I'm going to anticipate that his ball striking, you know, it wasn't just a short game. Victor Hovland was tinkering and lost a swing too. I mean, so he's starting to hit the ball.
He wasn't that far off, but yeah.
He's hitting the ball better. Short game's moving in the right direction. You know, kind of getting back to the basics with some of these guys. Now there's question marks still with some other big names like Justin Thomas, like Dustin Johnson, but less question marks, it feels like, at the top of the board. Would you agree with that? And that's where it just makes me feel like, again, big names rising. Ooh. How far can we push down to the board that really have a chance to win this? I mean, can – Adam Hadwin played well last week. Sergio got in. Aaron Rye, I mean, might be the most impressive statistically from a model standpoint that nobody's going to give a chance to win. He's 175-1.
Okay. Three guys right in the same price range.
I'm going to take you that I couldn't get you to bite that hook.
Come on.
Okay, go ahead.
I mean, although the two gloves will come in handy for Rye this week because it's going to be humid. But let's talk about some real names here, right?
Okay.
All right. Alex Noren.
Yep.
Russell Henley. Tom Kim. Where are you going?
I'll go.
These are three names that everybody's talking about.
Yeah.
Right?
That's a really good trifecta right there. What was the first one again? You said Henley, Kim.
And Noren. Noren's got 9 top 25s in his last 10 starts.
Yeah, I know. Huh. And Tom Kim starting to play better. Who's Tom Kim working with? I know he kind of jumped around there a little
bit. I thought he was with Cam McCormick, but he didn't.
Well, he was. And then I think he started working with Chris Como, but I don't know if that – I'm not sure. I think there's been a little bit of jumping around there when it comes to Tom. But he has played some good golf.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. He's realistically good. You know, so is Henley, though. I mean, Henley's ranked 7th in data golf rankings. That's ball striking there.
I like Henley. He checks out Bermuda surface. That's his jam.
Yeah.
27th at Memorial. Yeah. I think of those three, I'd go Russ.
I mean, I can't. All three of them have very, very valid arguments. To win, I'm not sure, but like, man, you talk about value on your card and building something out. I mean, all three of those guys have been really, I mean, Russell Henley's been really solid this year. He missed one cut all year, and that was the Players, and that was kind of an anomaly. But otherwise, I mean, the guy's been, pretty good.
Was it 2 years ago where Russell had the lead on Saturday?
2 years ago.
Was it Fitzpatrick or was it?
No, he was not. He wasn't in the lead at.
Was it 3 years ago?
No, who was at the lead at the Country Club after 54 holes?
I might have. No, it was 21. It was.
21's Torrey, right? With Rom. So.
Okay, it wasn't 20. Okay. Yeah, I think it was. Yes, it was. Yeah, Henley had the lead.
I mean, that particular one, Bryson was up there. Harris was up there.
Yeah, Henley had the lead. I'm pretty confident on Saturday. Then he drifted back. Yep.
I mean, he finished
13th. Yeah, I would go Henley for sure of those.
On three. A golf course like this, he's a good fit, man.
Yeah, he is. He is. Where's his odds at right now? I have not bet that, but I need
90.
To. Okay.
He's at 90 as I'm looking at this. Noren is 110, and Henley's 90, and Tom Kim is 90. Wyndham, how about this? Wyndham Clark's odds are the same as they were last year, and he's the defending champion. It's interesting.
Wow, it is.
Yeah.
Well, he's not playing very well. You know, look, Wyndham Clark, people forget, missed the cut. Last two U.S. Opens, comes in, wins, right? It's the next one.
Yeah. All right, here's.
All right.
I'm going to give you another one.
Oh, boy.
All right, because I enjoyed that one.
All right.
Minwoo Lee. Tony Finau, Tyrrell Hatton, same price range again. A little bit lower though. These guys are in the 70s, high sixes. Depends on where you're at. Again, I'm giving you names of people that in my world everyone's talking about, either from a DFS perspective or placements or guys that they feel like have some value and could actually be one of those. Could be the 16th. First time major winner out of 20 years, you know, 15 out of 19 is a huge trend.
Minwoo, Hatton, and who?
Finau. So for those guys,
I'd take
around the green, they all check the box 100%. Right?
Yep.
Of the three of them, Minwoo is the worst approach player, but he's the best driver.
Yeah.
Tony might be the most well-rounded of the three, but he lacks the putter. Whereas, I mean, Tyrrell's played great.
Yeah, Hatton's played very good. Yeah,
he's really good. You know, and his game is built for major championships. Great long iron player, Bay Hill type guy. You know what I mean? Like, when things get wild, you know, you would worry about his temper, but like from a player's perspective, anyway.
I don't know, man. That's a really interesting one there. I think I would probably give the edge to. I want to say Finau because I know he's the most talented. I just, you know, the putter scares the daylights out of me, and I feel like Finau's is starting to come into form. There's no doubt. We're entering the summer, and he's really starting to round. I'm going Finau. I'm checking. I think Finau's the best player. I'll get enough out of the putter this week. I like where he's trending with the rest of the game. I'll give Finau an edge over Minwoo.
I like when I get you in Seahawks GM mode, right?
Yeah.
I'm taking the best player on the board. That's what I'm taking. I love it.
I would love to see Tony Finau have a great week and win this.
I bet him last week at Memorial. He was good.
Yeah.
You know? That was a tough golf course. Yeah, go for it.
Last question, because I got a jam here, and now we're starting to get into the weeds, and this is where we start getting goofy, and I start losing bottles of wine. So, Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson, make the cut. Who finishes higher?
Oh, geez, oh flip. Hardest cut to make in golf. Here is what we're talking about.
I'll take Phil.
Yeah. If I had to go head-to-head between those two, I would take Tiger, but I wouldn't have much confidence in either, and I wouldn't bet either to make the cut. You get top 60 out of 156. I mean, the last 2.5 years since the accident, Tiger has played, like five events. It's, like, 47th, you know, missed cut, then, like, a 45th, a missed cut and a missed cut. You know, like, it would be great, like much like Finau, but it would be even better if Tiger made the cut this week and he had four healthy days of golf.
Yeah,
and whatever he made the cut at, say he made the cut at 50th place, I don't care. But then he just doesn't come in DFL because the weekend he shoots 75-75 because, you know, this is a great walk for him. It's a golf course that you're going to have to be very cerebral on that fits him. So I hope that it's a good week.
Tiger, Phil make the cut and play with each other. There we go. That's what golf needs, folks. That's what's going to bring us all together. PGA Tour, PIP, those guys, you know, hash it out for 18. All right.
Yeah.
I got to run. I got a big meeting to go attend to. I got all kinds of big stuff happening here in Ponte Vedra Beach, Florida. There you have it, folks. Keith Stewart, he's on the grounds. We appreciate your time, man. Enjoy Pinehurst. Stay cool, man. The heat's on.
Hey, everybody, go read the line. I got plenty for you this week. Let's have some fun, and the golf's going to be great. Can't wait.
It is. All right, buddy. Thanks a lot.
Peace.
Sweet.
There you go.
All right, buddy.